Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We talk about all kinds of topics on this show. This is 103.9 FM, Long Island News Radio. Today I'm talking to John Waffenschmidt, and he's the Vice President of Environmental Sciences and Community Affairs at Covanta Energy. Covanta Energy operates at least two plants on Long Island, I think it is.
It's four.
Four. One in Hempstead, one right here in Holbrook, is it?
Well, in Babylon.
Babylon.
Northport.
Now, the one in Northport, where is that located? Is that on the old Wilco site?
It's near the old landfill.
Okay, I know where it is. It's the old Huntington...
Smithtown.
That was an incinerator, which was a real dog.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the history. Right now, and the other one is right here in Iceland.
Yeah, but that's a very modern plant. What year was that built?
Oh, I don't know the exact date offhand. Most of these facilities came online in like the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, that's true throughout the country.
Now, as you're the environmental guru in the company, are you always looking at something new?
Let me tell you what we've done. How much could we do better?
Well, we talked
the last segment about how we perform from an emission standpoint, and I talked a little bit about the standard setting process, the maximum achievable control technology. We started a group called the Clean World Initiative back in late 2007, early 2008, where we basically said, it doesn't matter what the standards are, we're going to try to do better than what those standards are. And so we took the numbers that we had in those days and we applied ourselves to it, you know, from a technical standpoint to try to lower those emissions even further. For example, the most important piece of air pollution control equipment on our facility is called a fabric filter baghouse. The simplest way to think about it is like a high-efficiency vacuum cleaner. It captures the very smallest particulate matter, which is the ones you're most concerned about from a health standpoint, because those are the ones that can go in your lungs.
And never come out.
And not come out. Correct. So the fabric filter baghouse, most people would say, oh, it must be a filter. It filters it. But actually what happens is as the a cake builds up, in other words, you get some dust particles on there, as another dust particle comes, it hits into the other particles. It's called inertial impaction. And that's the mechanism of cleaning. That's why it's so effective in doing that. You could look at that bag and you could say, are there different types of cloth material that perform better? Are there different ways and different sequences you can do to clean those bags? And so that's what we've done. And we've been able to drop down our very good numbers from a few years ago to even lower numbers today. And that's kind of the attitude that we've taken to providing the best quality service. And if you think about it as service to your customers, you could make the argument that when we're minimizing our emissions, that's a general service that we're providing to society.
Let's talk about the economic aspects of the operations that you do. I'm a community that has a lot of garbage, and I'm shipping it off the island. You take that garbage and redivert it to your own facilities.
There's about 2.6 million tons produced on the island today. That's after
2.6 million tons per year?
Per year. That is after recycling. We handle about 1.8 of it. The rest of that other 600 or 800,000 tons, is continuing to go off island, and that goes to landfills. And you know, one of the ways you can look at sustainability in how you manage garbage is by calculating, are you producing energy? What's your greenhouse gas impact? You know, how near are you? There's a lot of different ways you can evaluate that. And the way I usually like to describe it is we should do whatever we can do to reduce waste. We should do whatever we can to recycle it. We should do whatever we can to compost it. But once you get to that fork in the road, you're either going to go to a landfill or you're going to go to an energy from waste facility. And if you look at the whole country, you're more likely to go to a landfill because there's a lot more of them than there are energy from waste facilities. But if we study it, but if we study it from a greenhouse gas standpoint, energy standpoint, what you'll conclude is you're better off going energy from waste plant. It is a better approach if climate change matters, if non-fossil fuel energy matters.
Now, let me ask you this. We know that landfills create methane. We also know that methane is a far more effective greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. You're producing carbon dioxide in your burning, but you're reducing the amount of methane.
We don't produce any methane at all. So when you do the calculation of us compared to a landfill, you'd evaluate how much methane is coming out of the landfill.
And assume that they're 20 times more
It's at least 25. I mean, it's someplace between 25 and a substantially higher number, depending on which approach you look at.
So 25 times worse than
CO2. Correct. When we look at our emissions, there are two different types of CO2. There's CO2, which is what we would call anthropogenic, coming from man. So from, let's say, if we burn plastic, that would count as a greenhouse gas component. But if we burn paper, which is part of the biosphere, that would be considered biogenic. And in the normal calculations of the impact of greenhouse gases, you wouldn't count that CO2 because the presumption is the same way you eat and breathe and you let out CO2. That isn't a contributor to greenhouse gases.
Because there's a balance in there.
Well, that's kind of the convention that many people use. And the approach that we use, the life cycle analysis methodology, was developed by the US EPA.
Let me see if I got the concept right. I live in a cabin in upstate New York, and my heating system is trees that I cut down from the property, and meanwhile, more trees are growing on my 25 acres. So I'm theoretically growing more trees than I'm cutting down, and I'm making no additional contribution to the CO2s.
Correct. You're not.
The trees are operating
correct.
As a sponge, and I'm operating as a releaser.
It's a circle in motion.
Yeah.
You know. So you're in that particular instance. It's true, but the argument that I would make two arguments of what you should be doing in that cabin. Number one is you should have a modern Environmental Protection Agency certified wood stove that has the least amount of pollutants that are emitted there, irrespective of how remote you might be. And number two, you should have it operating as efficiently as possible. So even though you're in net balance, let's say, from a greenhouse gas standpoint, we would still want whatever that fuel utilization is to be efficient, because that's where we've got to get our thinking. Because it's not just you that we want to change in the thinking. We want to change people's thoughts in general about how to look at these issues. Because the big issues of the future is going to be climate change and energy. Those are really, you know, they span generations.
Yeah. Now, you have four plants, you said, on the
That's correct.
You have other plants other places?
Yes. We're 40-some-odd. You know, plants come on contract, off contract at different times, but we're in the low 40s for the amount of plants that we have.
Yeah. And are you planning anything more for Long Island since we don't burn at all?
Well, you know, we tried to do an expansion at Hempstead that unfortunately we weren't able to successfully move forward. And at this point, there's no specific plans for any new capacity on the island. We'd like to continue to do what we're doing today for as long as we can.
Yeah. I've been talking to John Waffenschmidt. He's the Vice President of Environmental Science and Community Affairs at Covanta Energy. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio at 103.9. And we'll be back. Thanks for listening.